And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lisa Loder. On the show today, ADHD.
Steph takes a deep dive into the topic with Lisa Whitehouse from Interculture.
And coaching a safe space.
Rebecca Spittles will be here live to talk to us about coaching when you decide it's time to divorce. If you decide it's time to divorce, of course.
All that and a lot more.
Today, right here on Shout Out. The Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over five categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations, places and people, and Shout Out's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to five, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shout Out Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. I'll do that because this is not on the microphone. So.
You didn't need a microphone.
No, I know. Could you hear her without there? So, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Strange. I know you were here last week.
I was here last week. Yeah. Sorry, this is old news now.
I know, but it's lovely to have you back.
You see me in the news is not news anymore.
So, no, what is news, though, is you heard the Shout Out Listeners Awards voting, not voting, sorry, we're in nominations at the moment, closes next week. So, last chance. We extended a little bit after Christmas because everyone was like, oh, I didn't realise it was Christmas and the like, so...
Can I put a warning out to listeners so they're aware? We're actually doing this show live as usual, but without a safety net. Terry Starr is not here.
No.
So if it all goes to pieces, you know
all
why.
A bit Pete Tong. So a lot to live up to, Lucy.
I've got the script. I trust in Terry.
Terry puts big words in the script.
He does put big words in. I've broken them all down.
Reads them like it's like, you know, child's play or something. And you read it after, you're like, how on earth did he say that?
It's crazy, isn't it? And all of them are over four letters long. It's crazy.
I aspire to Terry's new script. One day I'll get there. But right now, all I can be is the medium or of the translation of his vision.
Are there any big words in this that you've spotted? Or is it reasonably okay today?
January.
So, anyway, Happy New Year to you. I hope you had a good one. It seems like ages ago now, doesn't it?
It does seem like ages.
So, yeah, you're out of bed.
Yeah,
had the
better.
Flu for God knows how long.
On the third, I was in, on the third, I went to bed and I didn't get up till last
Thursday.
So many
people real over Christmas and New Year. It's like. So you could tell a lot of people didn't go out, though, because from our house, I can see across Bristol all the way to Dundry. I've never seen fireworks like it at midnight. It was like having your own London there right in front of you.
Really?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And we're like 6 years, so I've seen it each year, and I've never seen it like it was this year.
It was absolutely lovely, but my girlfriend's dogs were petrified.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that is the downside of it, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, we've got a little cat, and he comes running and like meows at you, and then runs and hides under something as if to say, "Come with me, I'm defending you. We're under attack. Come with me." It's the sweetest thing you've ever seen.
I'm impressed. My two cats would absolutely leave us for dust. No, if they yeah, they are not bothered. If they get fed by whoever's coming in, then they will absolutely switch their allegiance. They are true cats.
Oh, yes. So. Anyway, ADHD. And that's not a drag name. That's
Although there is one.
ADHD, yeah. Isn't it, is the drag one.
Yeah, listen carefully to this. I learned quite a lot. And I'm thinking we might get Lisa Whitehouse in again because there was just so much to cover. Neurodivergence is something that you hear quite often now. But one good thing, I think, is a positive. We see so much things like bipolar ADHD, representation on TV and in films. And I think that's making us all more aware. I'm joined by Lisa from Interculture. Hey, Lisa, welcome to Shoutout.
Hi, Steffi. Thank you very much for reaching out and having me on the show.
Not a problem. So first, can you give us a little bit of background to how ADHD is recognised, either within an individual or when you're actually talking to somebody?
I would say, it's really important that we don't go around diagnosing people. But personally, I didn't think I had ADHD because I didn't know what it looked like. And I think Google is your friend. And people Google a lot of stuff and they'll sit on Marketplace for 40 minutes looking for curtains. But it's as simple as Googling ADHD traits, maybe targeted ADHD traits in entrepreneurs or in women or in men or adults. There are lists and lists of traits. ADHD, none of the traits are exclusive to ADHD. And I think this is where there's confusion, because we can all lose our keys or arrive late consistently and these kind of things. However, it's the amount of traits you have and if it impacts on your everyday life. In fact, in more than two areas for the official diagnosis. These can be, I quite often see sort of paradoxes. So someone who is immediately when it comes to communication, maybe people who interrupt, they find it really hard not to interrupt, yet they seem interested in what you're saying. Right. There are many, many different traits with ADHD. So inattentive type of ADHD, you know, we're looking at difficulty paying attention, staying on task, organizing your day, maybe organizing your thoughts. Hyperactivity can come across in many ways. Not being able to sit still, fiddling a lot, tapping on tables for me, biting nails. Always seems like they're busy. Also impulsivity. So trouble waiting in queues, which I used to think was the Italian in me. Acting impulsively, sort of, hey, should we do something? Right, yes, let's go, and just jumping up. This doesn't sound like much, and in this amount of time, it's hard to communicate, but I would say, please, just Google the traits. Okay. And there are lots and lots of traits. And within our training, we're quite unusual, so we get people to Google traits instead of sort of feeding them to people, because we like people to go for the action of actually Googling it makes people come back to it more. And also there are the strengths. Please Google ADHD strengths. And you can see everything's got a flip side. So maybe as a child you were told you're really hypersensitive, but actually that translates into having a lot of empathy, which means we're often found in sectors and roles where we help other people. We tend to be better at helping other people than ourselves. And yeah, we are found in many sectors, social sectors, voluntary sector, paramedics, police. We have a lot of people in that sector with ADHD. my ADHD brain is going a little bit all over the place right now, but that's fine. What I don't want to do, Steffi, is read off a list of traits, not be able to fit them all in, and then people sort of go into a panic. So if you're listening to this and you think, oh, that sounds familiar, or it doesn't, Google it.
Now, my partner's on the neurodivergent scale. She's very high functioning. Do you think women specifically have got a better edge on being high functioning and masking their ADHD?
Okay, so I think because of gender roles in society, men, for example, it's a bit controversial, but allowed to interrupt more because they're allowed to hold more space. And I'm finding this, I've spent 2 years talking to hundreds of people and listening to hundreds of people. The issue with dopamine is the same in men and women, but yes, it can present in different ways. It's nature and nurture affects ADHD. And so I think women do mask more. However, this is also really exhausting. And actually, we tend to think they're character flaws. Apparently one of the main negative self-beliefs about neurodivergent people and especially ADHD is that we're lazy or stupid, that kind of thing. We can really turn it into negative character flaws, which is why it's so important that we know what's going on. And as for high functioning, this belief that people, if they've got ADHD, you know, means people are going, oh, well, I'm doing okay. Well, that's wonderful. And if you're in a structure, if you're nurtured, that's great. However, I think it's really, really important for people to have a look at the emotional regulation issues around ADHD. The most prominent one is rejection sensitivity. And I don't believe that the emotional regulation issues that come with ADHD, without really looking into them, I think it can be beneficial for anybody to have a look at those emotional regulation issues. For me personally, and lots of other people, you can look at a list of the traits. Say for being, I mean, I run an organization, you know, I started an organization on my own 9 years ago, and I've created a wonderful thing. And, you know, we deliver great work and I'm really confident in the delivery. But my rejection sensitivity has got in way of me selling the training. So it's a sort of paradox where, you know, I can meet and greet 100 people and get them into a workshop and get everyone laughing and get everyone doing stuff. So you could say that's high functioning. But then afterwards, if I get negative comments, it can send me into rejection sensitivity.
Can you tell me a little bit about your organisation that you've started? I guess it's an outreach. It's called Interculture. So what do you actually do?
Right. Well, I started Interculture to bring people together to reduce othering. The idea that some groups of people are inherently less human than others. The kind of us and them. So we've put on about over 30 events now around challenging Islamophobia, refugee women talking, black men talking, black women talking. We've done Let's Talk About White Women's Privilege. We've done lots of events, and they're about bringing different groups of people together, because I believe that if you bring different groups of people together, it humanizes the experience. You know, because a lot of people talk about groups of people and other groups of people without actually knowing people. People are worried on behalf of people without engaging in conversations. So we create spaces where people can feel confident enough to ask questions, put allyship in front of their own discomfort. I developed it into allyship training, but it was anti-racism allyship and our sort of anti-Islamophobia, refugee, welcome kind of, you know, allyship. But then maybe 5 years ago, my team were like, can we do other allyship as well? You know, all my team then were black apart from myself, and they're basically tired of talking about racism. We're in Black Lives Matter. You know, they're exhausted. Can we look at something else? So we start to look at disabled allyship. My team wanted to explore other forms of allyship about 3 years ago. So we started to look at other allyship, disabled allyship, but also it was this parallel where people were getting all basically squealy and upset about pronouns. Some people, you know, who I know are really confident about talking about anti-racism or Islamophobia and the processes of allyship would then start complaining or, you know, feeling uncomfortable or feeling fear on behalf of transgender people. And I was like, you've just got to learn a pronoun, like check your privilege. So it started to feed into what we were doing. So we've now expanded our allyship training to transferable allyships training, which is around using those same processes, looking at, you know, walking towards your biases. So looking at unconscious and conscious bias, which we all have, looking at terminology, the importance of conversations being more important than whether you use the wrong words, how to be called out and thank people, language being fluid. We can't stop it, so how we can work with it. And also looking at the legacy of colonialism, which people felt more, I was used to talking about racism and colonialism, but then looking into, you know, gender fluidity, pre-colonialism, people just don't seem to know about. So we use a wheel of privileges so people can understand different privileges. So more people are feeling heard in the training. And in our training, we also offer members of the organization that we're training the opportunity to feed into the training in a pre-session session. And we're getting really, really good results.
Do you find that's key, Lisa, that getting minority groups together, better understanding them? Because there is a lot of prejudice out there, not just with someone's skin colour, but someone's gender, someone's sexuality, somebody's wherever they've come from in the world, even though they might be the same colour skin, but they have a different religion. Do you find that it achieve so much getting those people together, and it's all about understanding difference?
I think it reduces fear, and I think that fear is the root of this. Fear of the unknown, fear of your ideas, fear of upsetting people. So when I started, I was chair of Stand Up to Racism for a few years, and then we're doing lots of protests and all this sort of like on the street stuff, which is amazing and essential. But then I sort of got into looking at well-meaning, other well-meaning white liberal people like myself with good intentions, and looking at how we add to the problem of racism, homophobia, xenophobia unintentionally, and sort of helping people understand that we all need to look at, for example, how, not if we're racist, but how we are shaped by a racist society. Or are we ableist? Or, you know, not ask yourself if you're ableist, ask yourself how you've been shaped by an ableist society. And frankly, let's all start owning our own stuff. I'm not allowed to swear on here. And our training, we use a lot of humor as well. This all sounds very like intense, but we believe in creating spaces where people can feel relaxed and not worried about getting jumped on. We look at social conditioning. We're really not into demonizing individuals for their beliefs or their thoughts, to be honest. And I think it's about getting different groups of people together is really important. And we have looked at, we've done a few events specifically around intersectionality. We've done two Pride events about being Black and LGBTQ+, and also looking at racism in the LGBTQ world. And then we've done being queer and disabled, because we're really interested in looking at intersectionality. We're all nuanced individuals. We are not one thing, even if that's the identity that people treat you with is the first thing they see, tends to be the one that they have in mind. Or when you speak, like you said, you know, with an accent, then that's the thing people are focusing on. I could just keep talking here.
Lisa, thank you so much. We have run out of time, but it's quite incredible. You have opened my mind to different ways of thinking. Like, I'm white and I consider myself liberal, and that sometimes a liberal white person can also cause problems, and that is something so important.
Yeah, especially as we love pointing at other people. Although the people try and grass people up for being racist to me all the time. And I'm like, okay, so I talk about my own stereotyping of young black men in sportswear. I talk about how I walk towards my biases around Muslim women in hijab. Let's not pretend that we don't have these biases, because it's unhealthy and it's an insult to the intelligence of people that we have biases against. And yeah, so we really go in there. I just want to say that we've had these, after finding out that I've got ADHD, we've now put on two events around that. And we see ADHD as a way of unifying different groups of people. So it fits in with what we're doing, you know, our sort of main mission. And we have an event on the 1st of February at Knoll West Media Centre. You can have a look on our, hopefully, Steffi, you'll share the link for that. But they're very ADHD-friendly spaces with fidget toys, and you can doodle, you can go out for a smoke if you need to, you can tap the table, no one's judging, and they're really quite funny and really inclusive. And I would highly recommend them as well, even for training if you haven't got ADHD. But yeah, come along. Our events are just, we get great feedback. We love them, and they always have long-term outcomes, which is really important.
Right. Lisa, how can people keep in touch with you? Social media or website?
Yeah, well, there is also an exciting opportunity for social media volunteers at the moment. If anyone's interested in getting involved with us, even if it's a short-term thing, please just get hold of us. So the website is interculture.org.uk. Facebook, we're Interculture Bristol. On WhatsApp, we're Interculture CIC. Lisa Whitehouse, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can just Google. I can't express enough how important educating yourself, like with all of these things, is. And Google is your friend. But we need to have these conversations. And if you think you know about ADHD and you've not spent a couple of hours researching it, then I would love to challenge you on that. And also, if anyone would like to challenge us on any of our stuff, please get hold of me. Yeah.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us at Shout Out. Really do appreciate it. And I hope people have listened to the words that you've said today. And I know I've certainly learned quite a lot from just listening to you over these last 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, if anyone would like to book any training or coaching, please give us a shout, okay, for a free chat about it. Thank you, Steffi. That was wonderful.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
A bit of Billy Porter.
I like that one.
I love that. Oh, I can't. Called, hear myself. There I am.
What time it is? Could you? What did you say?
I said I can't hear myself. Oh, there I am.
Oh. I'm not telling you up. You get loud enough as it is.
Okay.
You've got my headphones on.
Yeah, I know. I just like them better. I don't actually. I like the fact that it upsets you. They look very similar, listeners.
I was going to say, you both got the same headphones.
Yeah, they're just a slightly darker grey, in fairness to me. That's all it is. But
Are you two been together long enough, and they're not just your just headphones?
Just headphones, no. Not for Stephanie Barnet, radio DJ extraordinaire, Andy. Right.
Oh, are they just more worn out then? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think they look quite cute, the matching headphones.
See?
It's quite a good thing, yeah.
Hers and hers, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, hers and hers.
Or hers and theirs. Hers and theirs.
Theirs and hers. Oh.
There we go. That didn't take long, did it, before we did the Bristolian takeoff?
Yeah, I think that was the quickest, about 30 seconds.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Oh, go on then. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
Christian Sykes, writing at the long-established anarchist newspaper Freedom, says that workshops and assemblies on January 18th will focus on practical skills such as forming affinity groups. Ahead of Donald Trump's return to the White House, grassroots organisers across the United States are planning a coordinated series of events under the banner of Festivals of Resistance. These gatherings, slated for the weekend of January 18, aim to build networks, share skills, and prepare communities for the challenges expected during Trump's presidency. The events are a direct response to the anticipated policies of Trump's administration. Organisers warn that mass deportations, escalated repression of protests, and attacks on judicial protections are likely to dominate the early days of his term. In this climate, the Festivals of Resistance seek to foster solidarity and resilience among those most at risk and those committed to opposing oppression. In a public call to action published by outlets including Crime Inc. and It's Going Down, anarchists and allies were urged to utilise the pre-inauguration window to create spaces for connection and preparation. Once Trump takes power, it will only become more challenging to make connections with our neighbours, create the networks we will need, and share the skills required to survive, the statement reads. The timing also aligns with the Day of Forest Defender on January 18th, an occasion for remembrance and resistance, in honour of Torgitua, a forest defender killed during protests against Cop City in Atlanta.
The call for action stresses that these gatherings are more than oppression to Trump. They are an opportunity to strengthen movements against white supremacy, patriarchal violence and colonialism. We owe it to each other to meet the second Trump era side by side in solidarity, the organisers wrote, underscoring the importance of face-to-face connections in building collective force. For those targeted by Trump's administration, from immigrants and environmentalists to trans people and teachers, these events offer a chance to unite and prepare for what lies ahead. The organisers hope the Festivals of Resistance will galvanise communities to act collectively, ensuring no one faces these struggles alone.
Now, we have often joked about the apocalyptic preoccupations of anti-gay extremists on this programme and podcast. According to LGBTQIA culture magazine Them.com, a reporter for local Los Angeles television channel KTTV was interrupted in his coverage of recent wildfires by a fanaticised weirdo who seemed to seriously believe that LGBT plus people were responsible for the fires. "Why is there a fire happening right now?" the man asked. "There are multiple fires that are taking place," the reporter said in response. "I think it's all the gay people in LA," the man said, prompting groans from the reporter and everyone in the studio. "Unacceptable," the reporter said. As historians have pointed out, blaming minorities for catastrophes and disasters has a long history in Western culture and dates back at least to the Roman Empire's blaming of various sects, political elements and enemies for health problems, disasters and crises.
Nick Fish, writing for the organisation American Atheists, says in his monthly message that the coming weeks will see people who are LGBTQIA+, atheist, pagan, liberal or secular, democratic, put aside their differences and unite in the face of Trump's administration's chaos-fashioned reaction take power in the US. Mr. Fish says, "This week American Atheists released the 7th annual edition of our State of the Secular States report. We found that religious equality is under threat in half of the states. If you haven't checked this publication out before, now's the perfect time to do so. It's available at the American Atheist website. Last year, our team monitored 1,156 bills across the country. We continue to see a proliferation of Christian nationalist and religiously motivated policies. We have a very good sense of what kind of policy proposals we'll be seeing in the coming days and weeks. Namely, we expect to see even more authoritarian restrictions on healthcare, more efforts to codify discrimination against the LGBTQ community, and more attempts to privatise and Christianise our public schools. I need our members to understand we can no longer trust the federal courts to vindicate our rights, and in just over a week, the Trump administration will be in power. Increasingly, our state legislators are the last line of defence against religious and political extremism, but without the engagement of secular folks like you, state-like policymakers can also cause serious damage. We've seen it happen. It's why American Atheists is upping our commitment to grassroots activism, starting with this powerful tool for advocates in all 50 states, Puerto Rico and DC. We know most Americans don't subscribe to the hateful ideology of Christian nationalists, but it's not enough to disagree from your kitchen table or on your social media feed. We've got to work together to register our collective disapproval loud and clear in the places these policies move from bad ideas to harmful laws. We've got to fight back.
The gay television personality and stand-up comic Tony Slattery, who found fame in the rapidly changing media world of the 1990s, has passed on at the age of 65, reports the Guardian newspaper. Mr. Slattery died of a heart attack. He was a regular on nighttime television shows, especially on Channel 4, which in the 90s was considered the radical channel, full of alternative inventiveness. A punishing early 90s saw Mr. Slattery appearing on mainstream as well as fringe television programmes, and his star was very much in the ascendant. However, his mental health was struggling. He later revealed that he was the survivor of abuse, and in 1996 he crashed with a cocaine and alcohol dependency. The latter persisted on and off through the rest of his life. Although he was Cambridge educated and worked with luminaries of the alternative comedy scene, his working class background made him feel an outsider. For the remainder of his career, Mr. Slattery battled mental illness and appeared sparingly, but it is said that he delighted in performance and making people laugh. In 2005, Mr. Slattery appeared on the difficult quiz The Weakest Link and won, donating his prize to the HIV charity Terence Higgins Trust. In 2020, Slattery and his partner Mark Hutchinson were featured in an edition of the BBC Horizon series entitled What's the Matter with Tony Slattery? In a detailed examination of his mental health, childhood trauma and substance addictions, medical professionals concluded that Slattery continued to experience the effects of trauma relating to childhood abuse, was on the bipolar spectrum and suffered alcohol dependence. Other achievements of Mr. Slattery include co-founding the Leicester Comedy Festival and being elected rector of the University of Dundee. He appeared throughout his life as a guest on quiz shows, discussion programmes and podcasts. He is survived by Mark Michael Hutchinson, an actor, and his partner since 1986.
And finally, some uplifting fundraising reportage from our colleagues at the US-based gay magazine Out. Miss Major Griffin Gacy, an icon of the American LGBTQI plus rights movement and a veteran of the Stonewall riots, has been hospitalised and is seeking help from her community. According to social media posts, Miss Major is sick and was hospitalised for 2 days. The Post said she was to be released Thursday but would need a round-the-clock nurse to help her recover. Miss Major's activism goes back to the dawn of the modern homosexual emancipation movement, which emerged in the countercultural high tide of the late 1960s. Major was advocating for trans people from the moment that Stonewall blew gay rights wide open in 1969. More recently, she led the Gender Variant and Intersex Justice Project. Miss Major's partner gave birth in 2021 to a healthy son. And despite ongoing health concerns, Major has served as a Grand Marshal of the New York City Gay Pride Parade, having been honoured as a veteran of the Stonewall riots. Given that the States has no equivalent of European universal healthcare, supporters of Miss Major are fundraising to provide the level of nursing and home care that the 83-year-old requires.
Well, thanks for checking in with Shoutout News this week. Why not make our website your homepage on the internet? We live at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter
and Ezra Peregrine.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you. For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
The Shoutout Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over 5 categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations, places and people, and Shoutout's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to 5, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shoutout Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. you go. And a reminder, nominations will close next week, so make sure that you get nominating. awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. So now, joining us, wearing the most divine top, I have to say. It just looks like it hugs you. It has to be described. It's a lovely Rebecca. Welcome along.
Thank you.
Am I allowed to ask as a side note?
Yeah.
It looks so lovely and warm, your top. It's pure wool, am I right?
Yeah. It is the warmest thing on, and it's really heavy as well. So it is like a hug. It's like a regulation blanket.
It looks like one of those that's been like giant crocheted.
Yeah,
there's
a company in Ireland, and the lady knits them, or she's got a group of people that knit them, but it is the warmest thing. But don't get it wet. That's my thing.
Does it get heavy?
Oh my goodness.
How did you get it wet? Just in the rain?
Yeah, I was just out. Yeah. I was just doing school run, and then next thing I was literally like, I could feel my butt like
being pulled under,
like sinking.
Although I bet it was lovely in the snow though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be ice cold to wear it, otherwise too hot.
Yeah, it looks like, in fact, from today's weather, it's almost bordering on probably being too hot. So.
Yeah, we're on the edge, that's why I'm clinging. And I was here last week, Monday in Pillow Talk,
right,
and I was freezing, so I thought, I'm not making that mistake twice, I'm going to wear a big cuddly jumper.
Steph turned the aircon up for you tonight, so it's a bit warmer in here.
Oh, thanks, Steph.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you haven't actually come to talk to us about
my jumper.
Will you talk to us? She can't not, really. It's not really very good radio. It's lovely. So, but you come to talk to us about a bit more serious subject, really, isn't it? I mean, it's the one thing. When you get married, your hope's never going to happen, but it does, doesn't it, Lisa?
Yeah,
it's
one of those things. Yeah. I went through it.
But do you want to explain for the listeners what it is you do?
Yeah, of course. So obviously this is classed as Divorce Month. The media tells us so. It kind of is and it isn't. But I'm a divorce coach based in Bristol, working nationally and now internationally, which is amazing. And I support men and women from any community, any background, any religious background, you name it. If you're a human being, I will work with you. And it's to navigate the hideousness that is divorce. Some people arrive and don't even know if they want to get divorced. Others have already in the process because it's been chosen for them. And others are in complex finances or child arrangements. So yeah, that is it in a nutshell.
So you coach them through anything that they're finding difficult separately, not together.
Exactly that. So I only work with one person.
And you wouldn't work with the other one at the same time?
No.
Okay.
So in the way that a solicitor would work, where you have one solicitor each, you'd have one coach each.
Okay. So give me an example of what someone might like. What someone would come to you with. My husband and I split up, and one of the reasons we would have wanted to stay friends and work through is for kids. Is that what a lot of people come?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because in a perfect world, we don't want anyone to get divorced. Mm-hmm. And in a perfect world, everybody ends up friends, and that is not always the case. So often my role with my clients is to give them the support to be able to find a way forward, to take it out of being so aggressive or toxic or pain. You know, you are in pain when you're going through divorce, whoever's decision it is. Trying to maintain some kind of levels of communication and respect with one another are really important. Granted, that's not always possible because you have to have two adults in a divorce.
Yeah.
So if you only work with one, which is totally understandable, very much like a solicitor, but do you communicate with the other? You know, because if some people can't, it's just got too toxic.
How I will do that is it's about empowering that person to be able to communicate. Because
right.
I'm not going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And I'm very much of the thought process, like with solicitors, some people say, well, I use my solicitor for all the communication, which is brilliant because that's what they're there for. But there is going to come a point where that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more about teaching and supporting tools for people to be able to have those conversations themselves and feel completely confident and empowered to do that.
So what kind of, I'm just thinking what the audience will be listening, because everyone's always got an opinion on these things, haven't they?
Oh, God, haven't they?
I've been through it, I know it, come talk to me. And of course, one of the things that we learn is, you know, you should trust your family and you should reach out to your friends. what is it they don't know that you offer that makes it more of a reason to come to you, as opposed to, I mean, depending on your relations, you may not want to. But,
well, yeah.
You know,
I think, well, the reason I exist is because I went through a really awful divorce, and I was sat with my sister one day, who's brilliant but feisty, and has an opinion. And I said to her one day, I was like, whatever happens, I'm going to become some kind of navigator. I didn't really know what that looked like at that point.
Right.
But I wanted something that wasn't a counsellor, but that wasn't a solicitor, someone that fell in the middle that could actually navigate the process. Because there's lots of languages, there's lots of myths that surround divorce. And I wanted someone that could give me that information, that he wasn't my friends and wasn't my family, because my family were fantastic. I was very fortunate. My friends were great. But there is always a thing, like you said, oh, well, when I got divorced, this happened, blah, 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 blah. And then and before you know it, you're actually living their divorce for them, or, you know, they've got an axe to grind because something didn't happen that they wanted to happen. So then, like, well, make sure you do.
Yeah.
And it becomes a different vibe.
You need someone a bit more neutral.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Who's not going to be picking sides. And even though you're talking to one person, yeah, and you're with them,
yeah,
you might be able to judge it from a distance.
I think you have the space. I think what I try to bring to my sessions, or my gut, you know, is to bring clarity.
Yeah.
And try and see it from a different perspective and suggest that different perspective and go, I know you're entrenched in this view and I understand why, but how about we flipped it and we look at it from here? And it's just flexing a bit and see where you can go with it.
In some cases, is it quite rewarding? Because in the end, they're like, wow, I never thought I'd be in a place of this security in some place.
Yeah, I mean, without sounding all like slushy and centre, I absolutely love it.
Oh.
So it's been 8 years and I literally love going to work, like, properly. And I'm really privileged because people come with all kinds of things and their deepest, darkest moments, and then they're there with you. And that's something that you should really hold and be really grateful for.
In a way, you're helping them get unstuck.
Yeah, 100%. That's one of the things I say a lot. You're just moving people on. And I do have people that come post-divorce. Like, they could have been divorced 5 years. And then they just go, do you know what? I just cannot get over them. And I'm in this loop. And I'm constantly, and I'm angry, and I'm sad, and I'm all of these things. And so you can work with that too, because that's the great thing about coaching. You can always unpick it, always.
I imagine it must be very difficult if it wasn't you that decided to end it. You know, and you're still in love with that person, but they don't want to be with you. And that must be very difficult to navigate.
Yeah, very. And that takes patience.
Yeah. And of course, was it last year we celebrated 10 years of marriage equality?
Yeah.
I mean, we'd all love to think the myth is there that, like, same-sex couples don't get divorced, but...
No. In a nutshell, no.
Yeah.
You know, we're in that zone now.
Is it the same kind of problems, though? Is it just exactly the same across the board?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we're human beings at the end of the day. That is fundamentally it. And when you get sick of someone, you get sick of them, whether they're male, female, female, male, whatever.
So have you ever had people get back together again as a result of...
So I've had a couple of times where people have come before they've made this decision to leave. And this is why I'm always... I am not here to get you divorced. I do not want anyone to get divorced. Just to get that clear, yeah. But I have had people that have come and said, I want to leave. I don't know how. We've gone through it. They felt confused. And they've gone, actually, do you know what? I have got this in me. I do want to stay. I can't leave. Great. Bloody. That's okay. Wonderful news. Sorry.
Worst has been said.
Yeah. You know, that's really great. You want that because no one in their right mind really wants divorce to happen unless it has to.
Yeah.
When I got divorced, my husband turned out was gay, and that's part of the reason we got divorced. And now we can genuinely say we're mates, and that's a really good process to have gone through. And people are like, you're the best divorced friends we've ever seen.
And that's the like, I love that. I love it when it's so, and sad to say, it is more unusual. Yeah. But it is the best thing in the whole wide world when you have two people that go, do you know what, it didn't work, but here we are.
It's nice we can. I mean, you know, about 20, 30 years, it was so frowned upon. It was.
Well, this is the thing. Like, people don't realise that so much of our, you know, kind of, if you're in your 40s, 50s, our experience of divorce is EastEnders and Den and Angie Watts. You know, and that you can't underestimate. And there was a huge stigma, huge stigma about getting divorced. And some people still carry that shame, and that's heartbreaking. You know, same-sex couples, they're like, well, we've got married, so we need to stay married because this hasn't been something we've been able to do. And that's not a reason to stay married.
No, as if you're making each other unhappy, you know, talk and be amicable about it, and you know,
communication is key. You know, it's old-fashioned, but
so
it's
if someone's listening, and as much as we hope people don't, things are perfect and you don't want to get involved, there will be someone listening who's thinking, actually, no, I'm not sure. What's the first thing that happens when they come talk to you? Is it just a chat and find out?
I mean, I work in a couple of different ways. So I work in person if you're based in Bristol or Bath or whatever, you want to come and see me, or I work over Zoom, and it is just a really open conversation. I'm not there to judge, I'm just there to listen and understand where we are and understand where we can take it. And I tend to speak to people either on the phone or via email, and then, you know, it's like book session by session. That's how I work, one-to-one.
Cool. Well,
I can
listen,
tell right away to make everyone feel safe.
Thank you.
No, well, listen, it's one of those subjects that you never, I hope you never have to talk about, but it is good to talk about it. So thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Very quick, if people want to get hold of you, is website or are you socials? Or?
So RebeccaSpittles.com is my website, and on Instagram I'm Rebecca Spittles Coach. So yeah, please, please drop me a message.
Cool. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
Do stay with us because we're literally into the end of the show now.
Okay.
It's been a jam-packed show, hasn't it? It's
like, it has.
So
that was the quietest I've ever been.
I know, yeah.
I was listening. Very, very interesting.
And Steph, she was very quiet.
I told her not to speak.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not my job.
That's never worked before.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
We go quite a way back, don't we, Becca? I served you coffee a lot, didn't I, when I was a barista in Starbucks.
And I always tell this story really briefly because I was going through the most horrific divorce ever. It was awful.
That was when you two met, was it?
Yeah, and so I used to have my meetings with my ex-husband in public places, and Steph was in Starbucks, and it just always felt like a really safe place to be. Because
very good bit of advice, though, isn't it? If you are going to meet someone you're unhappy, do it somewhere public.
And then I just loved this lady for a very long time. Just think she's very special, very special human being. Really special.
She is.
No, she is.
Blushing. She is. She is.
No, she is. And I'm really grateful and lucky.
Tell us. We absolutely love her.
I know you do.
But she does have a way of making people feel safe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I can't explain it, but it was there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's why. So what's that? So Esme's 17, my daughter. So it's like 18 years.
Where?
17, 18 years.
Gosh.
Long time.
Yeah. That is a long time.
And don't look a day older, do you, Steph?
No, I don't, actually.
Humble.
I've refused to grow older.
Oh, don't. Bring on the Botox.
And, of course, by the sounds of it, happy now and...
Very happy. Yeah, remarried.
To help out
I'm
the
very,
people.
That... I'm really pro-marriage. I'm like, obsessed with love. Like, I'm obsessed with love. And so, you know, I remarried. We've been married for nearly 10 years. Which is amazing. And we, you know, life's completely different. This time around, everything is different.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I genuinely never thought we'd see marriage equality in my life. You know, it's 10 years I'll be married to Carl next year. You know, and it's I mean, a lot of people here were at our wedding, so.
And it's still it still to this day makes me feel emotional and angry in equal measure that it took until 10 years ago for that to even be a thing. Like,
it's incredible, isn't it?
It's amazing how things change, though, because I'm sure she won't mind me saying, my mum took quite a bit to come to terms with me being gay when I was 18, and she guessed. Come the time I married my husband, she was like Bridezilla, complete and utter change round. You know,
I love that, though. But it is, I mean, it is still a very. I still think it's a really precious thing, and marriage is really precious, and we should be able to do it, whoever you are.
Yes.
The end.
Yes.
Yes.
And I can get on my soapbox about that, but I won't.
You kind of can here, can't you? We're quite lucky in this country compared to a lot of the ones in the
world. Yes, we are.
You know.
Well, yeah.
It's still a long way to go, and that's why Shout-Out's still here.
Well, it was only 60-something years ago it was still illegal to be gay.
I know, which is just...
You know, it's quite... Well, and of course, still illegal in many countries.
2001, I think it was. This is where we miss Terry, because he knows all these kind of things. I think it was somewhere around there. Until that point, you could still get fired for being gay in a job.
I know. Well, I was... Yeah, that's right. I saw that the other day, and it's outrageous.
Wow. 25 years ago, the army lifted the ban.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't believe it, really. It is, you know, and that's why I think it's really important, these bits around this, because our children, it's not a conversation from the point of view, they're just living with it. So it's, and that's a good thing, but I think they need to be reminded.
Yes. Well, this is the whole thing with equality. If you don't keep it going, keep reminding people, it can slip back, which is why it's very worrying that the whole lot of American companies are trying to remove it, aren't they? So anyway, that's it for this week. As a reminder, if you haven't nominated in the awards, please do so now, because the nominations are closing next week.
All the info you need, plus the form to nominate, is on our special website, awards.shoutoutradio.com. LGBT.
We'll catch you next week. But from myself, this is a long list. Long, long list. From myself and the rest of the team. Say bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.